This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
On one occasion, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It's caused me to wonder, is just enough to say, "Lord, Lord"? I know that's very common today, that men are saying all you have to do is just accept Christ in your heart, this mental assent to faith in Jesus, and that's enough. What does the Bible say? If we have a question, the best way to get an answer to a question is to ask God. So what about this question? Lord, Lord, is that enough? Is that enough? So I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. And today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. And I'd like to emphasize this course is free. In order that you might receive the course, all you need to do is to pick up the telephone and call the toll-free number that's going to be on the screen, or you can write to the address that you'll see on the screen, or you can take it online. So we'd like for you to have the course, take the course, because it's going to aid you in finding answers to questions that you might have about the Bible. I want you to get to know the Bible better. I want to thank you for watching today. Let's pause for just a moment so that you can get this information.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading now out of the 7th chapter of Matthew. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to start reading at verse number 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I shall profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I want us to notice in this reading these several things. First of all, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, you remember, we're asking the question, is saying, "Lord, Lord," enough? Is that sufficient? And we're allowing God, through the Bible, to answer that question. This is Jesus now. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. But then he tells us who will enter the kingdom in verse 21. "He that doeth the will of my Father in heaven." That's the one, if you obey God, do what God says, you ask God for the answer, and you take His answer, and you put it into action. You become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Then you'll go to heaven. He says, many will say to me. There are going to be a lot of people say to the Lord, he said, in that day. Now, what day is he talking about? Well, that day is the day of judgment. You see, to the first century mind, the judgment was so much a part of their thinking that they often referred to it merely as that day. Even the Apostle Paul did that in 2 Timothy 1:12, and he said, I know him whom I have believed, persuaded is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That is the day of judgment. So Jesus said, well, some are going to say to me in the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And I suppose the modern day equivalent to being prophesying would be preaching. We preached in your name. In your name we've cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. So there are going to be people to say to him on the day of judgment that, Lord, Lord, we've done all these good things, Lord, for you. But this is going to be his answer in verse 23. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. So Jesus said, I'm going to tell them that there's never a time that I knew you. And then in verse 24, he expands on the importance of the Word of God and obedience to it. He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I'm going to liken him to a wise man built his house on a rock. So here's a man that hears the Word of God, and this man obeys the Word of God. He's like a man that builds a house on a rocky, solid foundation. And whenever a man has built his house on that kind of a foundation, a solid foundation, the solid foundation of obedience to the Word of God, he said, the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not. But why did it not fall? It was founded upon a rock. Had a good foundation. And one day the winds of the judgment are going to come. The winds of eternity are going to be howling around us. And we need to be in a house that's built upon a rock. That is, my life needs to be built on a rock. Now verse 25, the rain descended. It fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a foolish man built his house on the sand. Be foolish to build your house on the sand. I live in the lower part of Alabama, about 10 miles inland from the Gulf Shores, Alabama. You can go to Gulf Shores, and there are houses that line the beach. But you know what? The foundations are not on the sand. They're built up off the ground on stilts, or I'd call them pillars, high pillars, and they have the house built up. Why would they not build that house on the sand? Because it's not a good foundation. And that ocean can come in and wipe it all away. And so they built it on a solid foundation. But here's a man that built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. These two men had a lot in common. They all heard the word. They all listened to it. The same word, both of them built a house. The difference was the foundation upon which they built. Now, what was the difference in the foundation? One heard the word of Jesus and obeyed it. The other heard the word of Jesus and rejected it. One built on a rock, a solid foundation. One built on the sand. There are many people today that are building their lives upon the sinking sand. Let me tell you, if you're building your life upon the sand of atheism, that's sinking sand. There are no atheists in torment. Even the devils believe, James 2:19. They tremble even because they know they were wrong in this life. And so That's not a good found. Living a good moral life is and thinking that's all you have to do is building on sinking sand. If we build on the teachings of a man, following some man other than following the Lord Jesus Christ, that's sinking sand. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So we got to build on the solid rock. Someone says, "Well, you know, Brother Lambert, I accepted Christ the other day." You did? What did you do? I heard a preacher tell me on the television, all that I needed to do was to repeat this prayer and to ask the Lord to come into my heart. And I'm aware that many are teaching that today, but we want to ask God, is that right? And we want to ask God to answer the question, is just saying, "Lord, Lord, enough. Come into my heart, Lord." What is the answer? I'm not going to get the answer from a man because a man can be wrong. I want God's answer. And the reason I want God's answer is because I know that God is smarter than I am. I know that God is wiser than I am. He's stronger than I am. He knows more than I, has more knowledge than I do. God made me. He made my brain. He knows what's in my brain right now. So I ought to listen to what God says, not a man. So what does the Bible teach about that? So sometimes people say, "Well, Brother Lambert, you know, in Acts the second chapter and verse 21, this is what was said on the day of Pentecost, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now keep that in mind. If you are at home and you have a pen and pencil ready, write that verse down. Acts 2:21. And under it write these three words, "shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's turn in our Bibles to John the 10th chapter. Turn to John chapter 10. This is the chapter where Jesus is talking about being a good shepherd of his sheep, and he's talking about his flock. Notice verse number 9. "I am the door." He's talking about a sheepfold. He's the door, the sheepfold. "I am the door. By me," that is Christ, "if any man," that's any man at all, any man, "enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So now write down John chapter 10 and verse 9. Under that, write down these three words, "shall be saved." Shall be saved. Remember, the first scripture is, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here it is, "I am the door." That's Jesus. He's the door. "By me," that is by Christ, "if any man enter in what? The door. Who is the door? Christ. That is, enter in by way of Christ. Enter into Christ. What will happen to him? He shall be saved. So write those verses, those words down underneath John 10 and verse 9. Shall be saved. Now turn back a few pages to the Gospel of Mark. And I want you to turn now to the 16th chapter. In the 16th chapter, Jesus gave the great commission to the disciples in verse 15 when he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And here's what he said that every creature should do. Verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So write down under Mark 16:16 these three words, shall be saved. He that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved. Now we have three passages of Scripture. All three passages of Scripture have a blessing mentioned in them. And in all three passages of Scripture, the blessing is the same. Shall be saved. In the first passage, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the second passage, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In the third passage, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. I was talking to a friend of mine who earlier in life had been a teacher and a principal. But for a time he taught geometry. And he said that when he taught geometry, they went by this rule. Things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's something I was taught when I was in college, sitting at the feet of the late Dr. Rex Turner Sr. Dr. Turner not only was a great Bible scholar, he also had a law degree. And a lot of times he would approach the Bible as though he were in a courtroom sometime. But I remember him telling us over and over and over again, a young man, he called us preacher boys. He said, young boys, young men, always remember things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Let me illustrate that. It's true in geometry. It's true in the Bible as well. But it's true in mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. That's 4. Doesn't equal 5 or 6. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 1 = 4. They're equal to each other. Why? Things that are equal to the same thing. 2 + 2 is the same as 3 + 1. Why? Because they're equal to each other in the end result. Now, let's go back to these three passages of Scripture. Calling on the name of the Lord. Entering the door. Believing and be baptized. All end at the same place. Where do they end? You shall be saved. You see, in those three instances, things that are equal to the same thing shall be saved or equal to each other. So, entering the door is equal to calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord is equal to being baptized as a believer, because things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Now, let's think about that passage in Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bible handy, turn over there with me and let's see what these people did on the day of Pentecost to call on the name of the Lord. So if we call on the name of the Lord, what will we do to be saved? Now let's go to verse 21 where he asked the question. No, verse 17 rather. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and the handmaidens I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now verse 21, it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, from Joel, the 2nd chapter, verse 28 to 32. Now, what did they do to call on the name of the Lord? Now, remember the three verses we mentioned. Let's see if what they were told is equivalent to what we read in John 10 and Mark 16. Well, on the day of Pentecost, this is the day the church had its beginning. Peter's the preacher, and he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. So he's preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he quotes a prophecy from David in Psalm 16 and 10, where David said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." And in verse 31, he said, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. So David predicted Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. And I've often thought, if there was a place, there was a time, there was a people to disprove that Jesus had been resurrected, this was the place in the city of Jerusalem, where he had been crucified and where he had been buried and where he had been raised from the dead. And they did not disprove it, because they could not disprove it, because in fact he had been raised. Now verse 32 says, "This Jesus God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses." They were witnesses. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said there were over 500 witnesses to Jesus' resurrection at one time. One time. And this is unsurmountable evidence. Evidence that you cannot deny. And so when these people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Verse 37 says they were pricked in their heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now here people now understand they've crucified the Son of God. And they want to know, what shall we do? What can we do to be saved? And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." That's another way of saying, so you'll be saved. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now remember, this was the beginning of the church. This is the day the church began. Incidentally, it was on Sunday, the first day of the week. Pentecost always occurred on the first day of the week. Verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come." That's what's happening here. This is all on the Sunday, first day of the week. And said, so he said, you need to repent and about three and be baptized. And about 3,000 were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now, let me ask you a question. What happened to them after that? Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is pre-denominational Christianity. That is, before any denomination of any kind, of any stripe, of any color, of any name, of any region, ever existed. Doesn't matter what it was. Didn't exist at that time. Now verse 47. "And praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church," that would be one, "daily, such as should be saved." Such as should be saved. Saved. Now our question is, from Acts 2:17, John 10:9, and Mark 16:16, what do people do to be saved? Because in those three passages, when you do what it says in each passage, you shall be saved. Well, here the people were told to repent of their sins as believers and to be baptized for the remission of their sins, in order that they shall be saved. And then verse 47 says that those that were saved were just added to the church. You see, originally, in the very beginning, there was just the church. That's it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it be a helpful thing, if we, in trying to answer all of the questions that we have, could just ask God and just go back to the Bible? It would be so helpful. And then we could see that we do Bible things the way the Bible teaches. But over years, all of this has changed, and there's so much division and confusion today. But when people understand the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and they believe the truth of the gospel and obey the truth of the gospel, by repenting of their sins and being baptized for the remission of their sins, they're saved. That's the same as calling on the name of the Lord, because Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To call on the name of the Lord is to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And that's to enter the door. You enter Christ when you're baptized. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. So it's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord, according to God now. But God teaches us to believe on His Son, to turn from our sins, to confess our faith in His Son, and to be baptized. You see, if I've got questions, if I want to get the correct answer, I'm going to ask God. Because man can be wrong. If you need help, we want to offer to you today a free Bible correspondence course. It helps us in our study of the Bible to answer so many of the questions we might have. It helps us to understand why we do certain things, why God said certain things, and what God tells us to do in certain areas of our lives. See, this is a great book. It's the greatest book in the world. This is God's book I hold in my hand. And we're to speak where it speaks, and we're to be silent where it is silent. I'd urge you to do that today. I may be speaking to some heart right now that's been thinking about their salvation. I think that because of the days in which we live, people are thinking more about their relationship to Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. Getting your life right with Christ. And Christ is your Savior. He wants to save you now. Won't you come to Him through obedience to His gospel? I want to thank you for watching today. Till we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.